Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. This is the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments. As you probably know, the Sabbath in Jewish tradition happens on Saturdays. In the Exodus version of the Ten Commandments, the reason God gives for this commandment to set the seventh day apart and do not do any work on it is this. For in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. This version of the covenant was written by what biblical scholars call the priestly voice of the Torah, which was very much concerned with how God sets the rhythms of creation, dividing day into night, light into darkness, ordinary time into holy time. To make something holy, or to consecrate it, is to make it set apart or other from what is ordinary. If you take a drive through Teaneck or Edgewater or Tenafly on Saturday, you will see neighbors there exhibiting a sense of holy otherness as they observe the Sabbath, which for Jews is from Friday sunset through Saturday. Their clothes stand out in their modesty. Men wear yarmulkes or black hats. They walk, never drive in the Orthodox Jewish tradition, as a family to Shabbat services. You can see that they have ordered their lives distinctly, differently on this day of rest. In their homes, they will probably not use electricity, and they light their houses with candlelight, even saying a prayer for the lighting of the candles, everything marking how sacred this time is. I've noticed that in busy places that do require work on the Sabbath, such as in many New York area hospitals, there are special elevators that are designed to stop on each floor on the day of Sabbath to honor the rest that the day requires. If observing the Sabbath religiously, everything about the day shouts, other, other, other. Christians shifted the Sabbath day from the seventh day, Saturday, to the first day, Sunday. The Westminster Confession of Faith states that God hath particularly appointed one day in seventh for a Sabbath to be kept holy unto him, which from the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ was the last day of the week, and from the resurrection of Christ was changed to the first day of the week, which in Scripture is called the Lord's Day and is to be continued to the end of the world as the Christian Sabbath. In other words, because Jesus was resurrected on a Sunday, every Sunday then becomes a day of resurrection and is therefore holy, a time when we come together to worship and to also practice Sabbath. How do we as Christians Sabbath? I am taking liberty to use the word Sabbath as a verb, like people sometimes do with the word summer. As in, where do you summer? Oh, I summer at Long Beach Island. I summer at Cape Cod. To be able to use summer as a verb, I think you have to spend at least 6 weeks of your summer on vacation. I've never been part of a family that summered, but it sure does sound lovely. The comic strip Calvin and Hobbes has one strip where Calvin tells Hobbes, I like to verb words. Calvin says, I take nouns and adjectives and use them as verbs, he explained to his bemused tiger friend Hobbes, citing the word access. Remember when access was a thing? Now it's something that you do. His conclusion? Verbing weirds language. So I'm going to weird language and use the word Sabbath as a verb. It's a word trick that I borrow from God, who, when asked by Moses for a name, gave not a person, not a place, not a thing, but a verb. I am, or I will be who I will be, Yahweh. I want to invite you to look at Sabbath not just as a day, but as a verb, a practice, and consider the question, where do you Sabbath? As Protestant Christians, we do not show such a distinctive otherness to our Sabbath as Orthodox Jews do. We do not wear special hats. That is, not unless you're worshiping at Windsor Chapel or maybe in the African American church. We drive to church, unless you choose to walk for exercise or for environmental reasons or because you don't have a car. But still, our church-going habits do not scream, other, other, other. Or maybe they do. I wonder what else you might have been doing if you had not come to church today. What are some of the things you could have been doing on a Sunday? Anyone, just say it.
Reading.
Relaxing.
Watching Meet the Press.
Yeah. So yeah, you may have slept in. You may have done yoga. You may have gone to brunch with your friends. Your kids may have had a soccer game. You could have been watching cartoons. The truth is that even though Bergen County retail closes up on Sundays, going to church is no longer the normative Sunday activity it was in generations past in this country. Compared to your neighbors, colleagues, and friends, you may even be seen as kind of weird or extraordinary for having a church-going habit. So good for you that you made it here. But then what? I like to think of Sunday as our dress rehearsal for how God calls us to act in the world. The words and practices we share in worship are for a template for how we might order our lives. The bread and wine here reminds us that there is something holy, 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 or other, 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 at work in us, forming us into the body of Christ that then goes into the world. Jesus modeled this intersection of holiness we try to practice in our faith, merging it with the world that we live in. In Mark's gospel, his disciples plucked grains from the fields as they were walking by, and they ate and shared bread that was set apart only for priests. When the Pharisees judged Jesus for not keeping the Sabbath, Jesus told them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath." The passage then goes on to describe Jesus curing a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath, asking, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" I don't believe Jesus was violating the Sabbath, but instead expanding our understanding of what it means to Sabbath. Interestingly, although the Exodus passage I quoted at the beginning of the sermon gives God's rest after 6 days of creation as a rationale for the Sabbath, knowing that the Lord created the earth in 6 days and on the seventh day God rested, the Deuteronomy passage that we read today is different. It gives a different reason for why we have the Sabbath. After giving instructions for who should practice Sabbath, including slaves, foreigners, all family members, and even livestock, the Deuteronomist writer, which is another voice that emerges in the Torah, explains, "Remember that you were once a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." So while in Exodus, Sabbath is intricately tied to creation, followed by rest, in Deuteronomy, Sabbath is tied to liberation from oppression. The Sabbath is about freedom. In connecting with and sharing the grain the earth offers, and in healing another human being, Jesus honors both traditions of creation and of liberation. When the Industrial Revolution hit Great Britain, the exploitation of workers became a big problem as a rush to turn a profit and keep pace put workers in dangerous and grueling positions. The labor movement began, and over time, it cut child labor. It created a two-day weekend and achieved an eight-hour work day for many workers. These changes were initiated out of humanitarian concern. In the face of human misery, moral leadership emerged and created change. However, an unexpected and unintended outcome of the labor movement was that air and water quality improved in industrialized cities, which had oozed a thick grime from the soot of factories. So with weekends and shorter work days, the factories weren't constantly emitting such toxins. The labor movement granted Sabbath both for humanity and for the earth. When we set Sabbath for ourselves, we may find that there are unexpected and unintended benefits to the rest we take. I'm reminded of something my brother told me yesterday when I gave him a phone call to wish him happy birthday. My brother works for a wind energy company. He was just out servicing off the coast of Rhode Island in the Atlantic Ocean, where they had installed wind turbines several miles into the ocean to generate clean wind energy. What they did not expect is that these huge pillars that go deep into the ocean floor to hold up these massive wind turbines, the bases of the pillars started to attract mollusks that would attach to the base of the pillars. The mollusks, clams and mussels, soon attracted small fish that came to feed off of them. And the small fish attracted larger fish, and soon even sharks were coming. And deep into the Atlantic Ocean, in a place where there had not been much going on, a whole new ecosystem developed. Our practicing Sabbath can be like that. Once we set apart in time and space something that is holy time, other surprising and wonderful things might also start happening. Sabbath certainly benefits the church, but it may also benefit your mental and physical health along with spiritual. It might benefit your family, your community, or even the earth. How do you Sabbath? Where do you Sabbath? You're Sabbathing right now here at church, but you also practice Sabbath when you set apart as holy other some time for sacred rest. And this rest may be for yourself, but it also may be a rest that allows for the restoration of creation, or a rest that allows for liberation from anything that keeps us or others captive. May God bless the Sabbath that we share today. May it grant us restoration. May it also shape us to join God as partners in the continuing act of creation and liberation. Thanks be to God. Amen.